Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Schneider Electric Infrastructure Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call hosted by Elara Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshit Kapadia. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Shruti. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Elara Securities, we welcome you all for the Q1 FY26 conference call of Schneider Electric Infrastructure Limited. I take this opportunity to welcome the management of Schneider Electric Infrastructure, represented by Mr. Udai Singh, Managing Director and CEO, Mrs. Suparna Bhattacharya, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. Mohit Agarwal, Head of Investor Relations. We will begin the call with a brief overview by management, followed by a Q&A session. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Singh for his opening remark. Over to you, sir.
You can see here. I'm sure you have gone through the presentation which we had shared a couple of days ago, and I want to take you along that and then followed up by whatever questions you might have. Now, I would like to reiterate, which is what I am very proud of the setting up the mission and vision statement for the company. SEIL has a very clear vision of leading the new digitalized energy world, as we say, offering our customers and partners the most innovative connected products and solutions, which would be ready for the then power distribution's elevated expectations. We do this with our balanced business models, superior quality, and efficient supply chains, which will keep our growth and profitability intact and resilient. We have a very clear mission, as you know, to be a digital partner for sustainability and efficiency, and we really believe that the light is on, as we say, everywhere for everyone and at every moment. I'll start my presentation with a slide on the market outlook, and what we have tried to share with you here is, how is India evolving, and what does the future look for your company? And what we have tried to do here is try to summarize this primarily into four pillars, and these four pillars are the trends which we see them evolve, which are greatly impacting the company which we currently run, which is Schneider Electric Infrastructure. Now, the first one is, of course, the green energy, which, as you know, it has been moving in a very agile way, I would say. India has attained 50% of power demand about four and a half or five years ahead of the schedule. And three-fourths of what we added in this Q1 is actually coming out of renewable, which just reinforces the fact that we are on the right track as a country. Now, what is important and which I want to really point out is something which has been happening on the hydrogen demand and what is lying in front of us as regards to the green hydrogen. Now, the analysts have said that we expect the hydrogen demand to be roughly about close to 9 MMTPA by 2032. Now, what it also means is there are a lot of things which will start happening. I'm sure you must have noticed the activities which are underlying this green hydrogen thing. There are people who are actually making electrolyzers. There are developers and investors who actually, and owners, of course, who are trying to make these facilities. And this is something which, as and when it picks up, it really will have a very positive impact for the company. What is also important is about the integration of the solar-produced power into the national grid. Now, this also impacts us a lot because we have plentiful smart grid solutions which can be enacted upon as and when these demands picks up. And in fact, if you notice and you read, about 14,000 crores actually scheme is being put just to hook up 9 gigawatts of solar being thereby produced into the national grid scheme. As I said, this will open up some business avenues for us in terms of provisioning and installing the grid solutions which can make this flow, which is a multi-directional flow, seamless. Another important element which you will recall our Honorable Finance Minister said is our interest in small modular reactors. Now, typically if you perhaps have noticed, you know, nuclear power in India today we are roughly at about 7 gigawatts. And to put up a nuclear plant by Nuclear Power Corporation of India usually takes anywhere between 5 to 7 or 8 years. Because these plants are large, there is a huge capacity or huge requirement of land which is being sought. There is things around environmental clearances, etc., which has to happen, and that's the reason why the gestation period of these projects are longer. Now, this being one of the clear fuels, is being thought and which is being very rightfully thought is, can we get into those reactors which are smaller in size? And therefore, it will bring up few things. One is it will accelerate our ambition of becoming 100 gigawatts of renewable by 2047, which is the time where we will turn 100 years of independence. And this will bring up an accelerated mechanism of actually putting up nuclear power plants. Plus, additionally, it will also be facilitate the country to put up these nuclear power plants where the lands available are smaller, you know, in far-flung areas where perhaps today we have not been even thinking of putting up a nuclear plant. Now, when I mention this, as and when these plants come up, this eventually opens up avenues for us, for business, for really engaging and supplying power distribution equipment along with the, you know, softwares and solutions which we have. Not only for the plant, but also for the people who actually will eventually make these smaller reactors in India. And of course, you know, it's being supported by the government, you know, through the National Green Hydrogen Mission, where about 20,000 crores have been earmarked for us. I jump into the second pillar, which is essentially the artificial intelligence and the digitalization which is being sought. You know, data centers in India actually will see a different path altogether. Today, and this will get fueled by the growth in the digital economy. Now, we were a couple of years ago, we were roughly about 11%. Now, we expect that this economy, digital economy ratio, as we turn in, say, 2031 or 2032, this will be roughly about 20%. Now, what does it mean? It means that we have to handle large amounts of data. Not only digital economy push, but also the fast-growing 5G needs will also push the data center demand in India to go up. And what we expect that we should be adding another 2.5 gigawatts or about 3 gigawatts of IT load capacity on the existing 1.2 gigawatt load in, say, coming 4 to 5 years. Now, this is very important for us again because we supply substantially to data centers, and we have solutions which can be given in this segment to make them very energy efficient and resilient. Now, there are schemes which government has been driving to bring up this AI-based infrastructure in India to fuel the data center growth or to aid the data center growth and other accessories which have been happening. Another couple of important topics in digitalization is the semiconductors, which now India has already, there are people who have announced OSAT facilities. There are Tatas who are going in and for a large semicon in Gujarat. And that is something which will set forth India in a different orbit, I would say, in a few years down the line. where the Atmanirbhar Bharat or self-reliant Bharat in terms of making the entire chips, which will be of different thicknesses in India self-sufficient, which is very important. This is something which is going to happen, and the company has solutions actually to deliver and support these initiatives of government and developers. RDSS scheme, as you all know, has been our backbone. 3 lakh crores were earmarked for this. There are states who have been working, and we supply the primary and secondary side of switchgear along with the solutions which we have, which are in terms of, again, modernization of grids to bring the AT&C losses down, is something which we have been doing and which we will continue to. Another important element which I think everyone of you will relate is the mobility segment. The growth at which EVs is expected to witness, you know, while we all know that government has announced a penetration of about 30%, although it's a different matter that we are today at 7.8%. But I think you must have read the declarations made by the minister where they are trying to really push this hard in terms of even to an extent of de-incentivizing people who are not embracing the EV, especially in the government side, is something which will propel this. And what we are really keen in seeing and supporting all those developers, whether they are CPOs or DISCOMs, in terms of establishing a fast charging infrastructure, which is the future for tomorrow. Now, when we say 30% penetration in year 2030, what we are essentially talking about is about 40% of buses will actually get electrified, which will open up immense potential for us as we see and we anticipate going forward. Now, even the charging infrastructure, I am sure people who are interested in this segment may be aware that we were roughly about 5,000 charging stations or blocks which we had about 3-4 years ago. We have actually grown to about 26,000, and we are expected to be at maybe putting up another close to 13 lakh charging stations. Maybe we see them coming up by 2030. You know, today there's a large headroom to improvise, because on an average, if I'm not wrong, we have one charger for 235 vehicles, which is nowhere near to the advanced or developed nations where EVs have been embraced much higher, like in Europe or US. And that's the reason why I say that this opens up a good avenue for us going forward. Another important element, which actually are another two in the mobility segment, one I would like to call out is the Udaan project of government, which is nothing but, I'm sure you might have heard, is Udega Aam Nagrik, where we have been talking about, you know, 120 new destinations being coming up, and we getting to close to about 4 crores of daily commute happening on the air. And that's something which will open up many, many things. I'm sure you have seen in larger airports where people are speaking about these airports are sustainable. And what they really mean is these are energy efficient airports which are aimed to bring the CO2 emission least. And that is where our solutions come into picture. We get into multiple packages besides power distribution, which we handle very well. And we see a lot of upside going forward. While the projects take some time to get implemented, but at least there is an ambition, there is a direction which government has in terms of augmenting the air infrastructure. Not only that, we are also pretty much prevalent in the mass rapid transport system. You know, we have already close to about 1,000 kilometers of rail network, mass rapid, and we intend to add another 1,000 in coming years. And that is where we actually would be generally very much interested and very much keen in actually engaging with the agencies which push up this infrastructure. We have a quite high and appreciable percentage of power distribution in the entire country in this area, and where we would like to take this further up. You know, I'm sure you are aware we make VCBs for, on the trains which are Vande Bharat trains, about 80%, 75% or 3/4 of trains in India are being powered up by your company as breakers. The last but not the least is something which I would like to call out is the energy storage systems. Now, these are, just to give you a sense about this, these are required essentially to handle to the peaking demand so that, you know, the DISCOMs can handle and ensure the reliability of availability of power when there is a the peak in the or the surge in the demand. And, you know, India and the authorities, which are essentially the Central Electricity Authority, have spelled out that we, in 5 years from now, we would be having a capacity of 400 plus gigawatt hour, out of which about 230 plus gigawatt hour will come out of battery-based energy storage systems. And this is something which we see emerging very, very fast. And this is very relevant and pertinent to us because we have multiple solutions in this. We have modular solutions in this. This has got three basic parts. We can supply one part, two part, or three part all together to the people who actually are putting up these capacities and infrastructure in India. Another important thing is of course, you know, because you have EV picking up, we have battery-based energy storage systems picking up, and therefore what is also picking up is the battery itself. Now, they are battery manufacturers, or rather I will put as cell manufacturers, which see, and they are pretty bullish about setting up a localized infrastructure of cell manufacturing and battery manufacturing in India. We engage with them. We supply them the same set of solutions which make them really make their operations, I would say, resilient, trouble-free, and consistent. And therefore, the surge in the battery, which we will see, if not now, maybe 1 or 2 years later, is something where we will be very much interested, and it will be impacting to us. And why we see this, what we are also trying to do is really, I would like to take your attention to the bottom of the slide. What is that which we are trying to do here? You know, number one, we are engaging with the policy makers. We are engaging with the other set of stakeholders which are relevant and pertinent in these areas. In terms of on advising mode, in terms of bringing in best practices of the globe to India, what we should be doing and what we should not be doing, the way we are going to expand these infrastructures in India and how the technologies can contribute. We are one of the respected voice here, and that's the reason why we are engaging with these regulatory bodies or policy makers. We are also trying to see as to how can we be few years ahead of the rest of the market in terms of really bringing up something which is innovation. And when we say innovation, it is not because, the entire innovation piece in the company is directed towards the differential value additive which we bring in for the end user. And that's something which is being appreciated, and that's the reason why, you know, we are really being heard and respected. And of course, we are also fully cautious of that when these evolution of new technologies, new markets, you know, new market, new dynamics which are emerging, are we really capable? And we are trying to really keep those skills with us, which we keep on refreshing as we move on, so that we are really there as a company when we are required to be there. I would like to take you to the next slide, which is just proudly sharing as to what your company has been winning. You know, the first is the core. And I am talking about page number 6, where we have actually put up 3 cases in water, power and grid, and mobility segment, where, as I said, we have won the entire package for one of the large cities in West, followed by transformers again in West, which are long duration contracts which we have signed up. And third, of course, is in the water, and this is actually in Central India, in MP, where we are trying to supply again transformers which are intelligent and which are fed by the right sort of oil. And I would take you another further ahead in terms of the successes which we have seen in data centers, again in power and grid and in triple M. I'm talking about page 7, where you know, the success came in because we were seen as a technology provider or a shop which can give not only one set of equipment but the bundle solution, where each one of these things speak up with to each other, and therefore, you know, what the user gets is more advanced, more informative set of equipment by which he can make the operations run more seamlessly and more efficiently. And therefore, we have done, we have supplied to a steel industry in West. We are actually supplying to a very established data center player in North, where we have supplied the air insulated panels and the secondary distribution panels, along with a, and these equipment are fully sensorized, which are coming up with our subscription plan for accelerated resolution and support. And we have also supplied in North, where it is a complete e-house, which has got the gas-based primary distribution. It has got 11 kV primary distribution again, and this is something which is coming out of motorized RIRO, and this is important. I would like to just share with you is, you know, this is a feature which we have made, which is nothing but when you are interfacing with the equipment, there are times it is felt to make it more safer and secure. Is can we operate the equipment in terms of physical movement of the breakers without going and standing in the vicinity of the equipment, which is where people were looking for something which is, you know, motorized remote rack in and rack out of equipment. And this is what we have done. And, you know, this utility, which is a progressive in nature, was in fact the one which came forward and said, this is what we want, and we deliver them the features which they were looking for. Further continuing, you know, our areas in terms of what we have been talking about, for what we have been known for, is the area of sustainability. I talk about page 8, where one is our, you know, smart inverter DP transformers, which we have supplied for a solar farm in I would say Rajasthan, to a developer. Then we are also we also supplied to another transformer, which was extremely intelligent in terms of all sensor base, and of course it came up with a subscription model of support and service in a solar and wind developer. And the last which we are very proud is the elements which we have started piloting, and there are certain private discoms which have started experimenting this, and you know there is a clear mindset change or shift in there is in terms of how do these new technologies will make their operations more sustainable. And there's the first smart ring main unit which we are supplying to a utility in North. And when I say smart, the smartness is that it can do multi more things more automatically than a normal ring main unit. I will actually take you to the last slide before I hand over to Suparna, which actually speaks about the financial numbers. And I'm talking about page 9, where I'm happy to say that we have upgraded our design at 33 kV, wherein we have come out with an upgraded version of breaker, which actually can handle up to 3000 amperes at 33,000 volts. This was something which is which we were trying to work upon, and this is something which we have done for India, which we have came up with, and we were successful in actually also winning one order last quarter. But this is very important because it has got many, many features which usually market is looking for. It's got a withdrawable breakers. It is tested with something which we call the internal arc, which is only towards the safety of operator. It is efficient because it is a roll-on floor design, really compact, fully digitalized, with easy access in closed door to ensure safety of operating personnel, as I said, and fully added by, you know, like all of our products with QR code, which gives everything what is there inside. And of course, this is catering to, you know, the renewable market and also in the triple M segment. So this is a new addition in the basket, and happy to say that we have also concluded one order, which is large in few hundreds, which is something being done. I'll pause here and may request to Sukarna to take through financial performance with all of you. Over to you, Sukarna.
Thank you, Uday, and good morning, everyone. Is my voice clear?
Yes.
Okay. So we are in slide number 11, page number 11. And I'm happy to share the strong momentum in orders that we picked up during this quarter, and also the financial results for the quarter. And we have a great number in terms of orders for this quarter. We clocked 910 crores, which is 42.1% increase over the corresponding period of last year. Sales have been at 622 crores, which is close to 5% increase. Our gross margins are at 241 crores, which is slightly lower by 1.5% over last year. EBIT at 67 crores, which is also slightly lower than the corresponding period of last year by 2.5 points. At the PAT level, we are at 41 crores. 1.5% lower, but we have a very strong backlog, which is 25% higher than last year, the corresponding period, and which ensures that whatever lag we have in terms of the sales, we will accelerate sales and catch up in the quarters to come. So overall, a strong order growth, which is very, very encouraging. We have a steady sales growth, and as I said, we'll surely catch up in the quarters to come. We had some spillovers and some project delays which were not fully in our control. That is why it has been spilled to the next quarter. Also important to see that our future readiness in terms of the capacity expansion for which we took the CAPEX approvals a few months back, they are all on track, and the future in terms of taking care of the market requirements is being fully protected. The strategic levers, if I talk of, we have accelerated the growth in the segments, and Uday has already talked. We have leveraged some emerging segments and, of course, strengthened the resilient segments where we are market leaders from time to time. A lot of focus on services. The modernization, the digital services, and the remote asset monitoring are the key features of the service-related solutions that we offer to our customer. And we have the transactional business, which is done mainly by our partners. We are promoting the partner business significantly because it is a quick turnaround in terms of as compared to the project business, and so that we are right on track to achieve the sales target for the full year. As we said that we have a good traction in orders with better product mix, and I'm on page number 12 now. The orders, good growth, good backlog, good profitability in terms of the orders that we have picked up, and we are in these days selective in terms of the orders. We are picking up very good orders in terms of the margin as well as the payment terms, etc., which is ensuring not only the growth in the business and the margins, but also the hygiene as far as the collections, etc., is concerned. Sales again at 4.8%, which as we are saying, it's moderate. Now over to page number 13, which is the P&L. As I said, we did sales growth of 4.8%. Overall, the total revenue growth has been 5.1%. Our material margin has been 38.8%, which is 1.5 points lower. And the reason for this is the corresponding period of last year had some exceptional credits. Otherwise, we are pretty much in tune with the margins that we are expecting. And as far as employee costs, which have grown by 11.8%, this is well in control. It has the inflation, the salary hikes, as well as the additional expenses with respect to the headcount. And we also have the variable salary cost, which is predominantly the labor, etc., used in production. Because of the project or the long tat of our business or the project business or the equipment, we need to spend today to have the sales and the inventory ready for the next quarter. So that is the employee cost component, which is pretty much in control. Very important to see that the other expenses have stabilized as compared to last year, where we were building on capabilities and other things within the organization. So almost 4.9% increase in the other expenses. EBITDA at 11.8% lower by 2.4 points. Depreciation slight increase due to the increase in the asset base that we are investing time to time. EBIT at 10.7%, less than 2.5%. Finance cost lowered a little because of the optimization of the interest expenses, which is on the treasury bill. After that, we can come to the profit before tax, which is 56 crores, which is as 9% as a percentage of sales, and we are lower by last year by about 2 points. Now, coming to the PAT, we are at 6.6% of sales. Last year corresponding period, we were at 8.2%, which is again 1.5% lower. However, as we said, we had a moderate growth in sales for this quarter, but we are sure that we should be able to optimize on all of this in the next quarter with the good orders and the good backlog that we have with us. Thank you very much. Over to Lara.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Naisar Parekh from Native Investment Managers. Please proceed. Hello, Mr. Naisar Parekh.
Yeah, hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, hi, sorry. Thanks for taking my question. Yes, sir, what I wanted to understand is that, you spoke about a bunch of segments, in the start. But can you just be a bit more specific and with regard to the kind of, order wins that we've had this quarter, just talk a bit about where exactly, are we seeing traction? And secondly, margin front, you said that we've kind of gone for orders where the margin is better, but this time, this quarter, obviously our margins have been, lower. Our gross margins are, versus average that we've been seeing, have actually been trending lower. So how should we look at gross margins, especially for the remaining part of the year?
I'll start from, thank you first of all and good morning. The orders, the margin which you see is something which on the sale which has happened. And the orders which you see are for the quarter which has been booked but not yet sold. Now, this numbers which you see a small drop is more of a time impact. It is not that, and whatever guidance we have actually taken internally for the full year, we are confident that we'll be delivering that margin and profitability for the full year. Now, this was to your question number two, and question number one is essentially you were asking, if I am not wrong, about these four segments which I did speak about some time earlier on, as to how do we see ourselves getting positioned and how, what sort of traction will these segments give us. Now, what we are trying to tell you by that is that how is your company getting prepared for what is seen and anticipated by us in India in coming years and times. Now, the business as usual, which have continued, will continue, but it is a step towards getting ourselves future ready in terms of being there ahead of our peers, like the way we are till now, in the coming new evolving India as well. That was the only thing, only intent and purpose which we were trying to share with all of you.
Right, understood. My question was if you could give some kind of your split between your the order inflow for the quarter, what segments between data center transmission, etc., what segments are driving it. If you can give that mix, that would be helpful.
That mix can be given later by Suparna, but typically in a quarter you really can't figure out on a quarter performance in terms of segment split and nuances. Because typically what we see, a larger duration, which actually rolls up to at least two quarters, is something to get you a sense in terms of whether which segment is accelerating and which segment is actually more flattish. But this Q1 split, Suparna, if you have, you can share. Otherwise, we can get in touch with them later, maybe perhaps.
I'll just add here, Power and Grid is our bread and butter business. And that contributes to 40% to 45%. Regarding the other segments, it all depends on what kind of investments are coming up and what kind of, which orders we take. And it is not a very standard mix all the time. So we would refrain from commenting on that. But yes, Power and Grid is a 40 to 45% contributor to our overall business at all, almost at all times.
Right. And how much would data center be this quarter?
See, data centers, the investments come up, like one big investment comes up at one point of time and then it is a little lull for some time. So we cannot really comment on that because there is no established trend as such in our numbers or even in the industry for that matter, I would say.
Okay. No, I was trying to understand because the order wins, obviously we've seen strong growth. So I was trying to understand from where is, I understand the 45% of Power and Grid. Where is the growth? What is driving that growth and acceleration?
Mainly Power and Grid and related energy sector.
Understood. Okay. And for this year, in the H2, what would be your outlook on growth and margins? Don't need to give numbers as such per se, but just directionally, do you think H2 is looking better than H1, just where you stand, both from order inflow and maybe margins as well?
So currently we'll be completing H1 with the next quarter, and honestly I need not say, but the orders itself and the backlog that we have, they are strong indicators that we shall have better numbers in the quarters to come.
All right. Thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Bendre from LIC. Please proceed.
Hi, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Sir, in the presentation we have mentioned, I mean, for this quarter our sales growth was muted. So we have mentioned that the moderate growth on account of spillovers and project delays. Sir, what is it possible to elaborate this, sir?
5% growth is what we have witnessed in this quarter, which is perhaps because of one main reason, that there are certain projects which got shifted into Q2. And really, if you ask me, not a matter of concern, because we are talking for larger periods, and what gets slips gets consumed and cannibalized in the subsequent quarters. So on overall, as I had said before, we are staying with the guidance which we have taken for the full year, and which is also evident from the strong 26% growth in order which we have backed. So other than that, I mean, nothing to be very particular. In a project business, quarters doesn't really matter much because we talk about larger durations.
So whatever the spillovers and project delays, those will be captured in Q2 and Q3?
Yes.
Sure. And sir, quarterly, I mean, the order inflow is very, very strong. I mean, this is best in last 8-9 quarters. Sir, is the momentum will be continue going forward next 2-3 quarters?
You know, if you see the data, and this is not specific to your company, but the data typically indicates a decline, you know, because if you see, you know, all the data which typically are the financial indicators, if you really ask me, like the GDP is strong. We actually have, if you remember, last Q4 of last year, we hit, the GDP was upwards of 9%, okay. Where we in the entire last year we were 7.1, we fell to about 6.5. The guidance of IMF recent is 6.4. You know, the industrial, the IIP is another indicator which we speak of, which is actually sort of, I would say, on a decline. The GFCF, another indicator, is also for this quarter has not been great. So, you know, in other words, nothing to greatly worry about. But in my opinion, as I look on a personal level, is something which we are sort of stabilizing. And, you know, not to be too much concerned about the recent announcement, geopolitical announcements which has been happening. You know, these are few aberrations which eventually will get settled out, I'm sure. And overall, not as bad. You know, it's not as bleak. You know, we are returning back to the normal set of operations like what we had. In fact, the operation I would call with the COVID era, we started 20, very lull in 20, you know, picked up greatly in 21, parts of 22, and now post that in 23, 24, we are sort of stabilizing, you know. So we will get stabilized.
And just the last question. I mean, given what we heard from the tariff from US on India, so there won't be any direct or indirect impact as such for us, major impact?
No. No, not for us, as the best of our knowledge.
Sure. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. Participants, in order to ensure that the management is able to address questions from all participants in the conference, please limit your questions to 2 per participant. The next question is from the line of Abhijit Singh from Systematix. Please proceed.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, any guidance that you would like to give for FY26 in terms of revenue growth, margin and order inflow?
I would request Suparna to take this if she can.
Well, thank you for your question. But as I said, that while we do not give any guidance on the numbers that we'll be doing for the future, but it is important for you to see that the orders which have been picked up, they will be executed with, you know, complete focus in the months to come. And we just hope that, it should be good in terms of the future, because anyways we had a muted Q1.
So my question was based on the understanding that in Q1, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, we have grown at around 5% in terms of revenue. And if I look at some of the peers, in fact the entire industry, the growth seems to be more than this. So, and one of the reasons that you mentioned is that there were some project delays on the customer level. So,
right.
Apart from that, is there any other challenge that we are facing in terms of labor, in terms of a market share loss, something like that, that you would like to comment on?
No, see, sales, moderate growth in sales doesn't really give the indication that there is a loss of orders or there is a loss of market share. It is just that it has been deferred from this quarter to that quarter in our case specifically. Talking of any other challenges like labor, etc., thankfully we do not see any such challenges. So our order execution is quite focused and we are optimistic in terms of the order execution in the quarters to come for the orders which we have picked up. So no challenge.
Also in terms of the order book, what is the mix between the private clients and the government clients, PSUs, etc.?
So mainly the PNG segment is, I would say, the government or the, you know, partnership. So I would, so that 40-45% predominantly pertains to the government. The rest kind of comes from private. Uday, if you would like to add to this.
No, I think Subhana, you have actually shared it. I was just trying to tell Mr. Abhishek that, you know, when you really compare, it's very hard to find an industry which is exactly in the set of and scheme of things which we are. Now, us have been mixed, and I'm sure we have healthy double-digit growth in certain companies which are from the peer side, not exactly the people who have votes for the quarter, which is lesser than even 5. So I would not like to comment upon the rest, but what I'm saying, quarter performance essentially is 3 months. Case performance, and as I had said before, we are staying, we are confident that the guidance which we have taken internally for the full year FY26, we would be in a position to deliver it, and that is evident from the order backlog which we have now created, which is sitting at about.
Right, sir.
Sorry to interrupt, Mr. Abhijit. May we request you to join the question queue for a follow-up question?
Sure. Thank you for answering the questions.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Naman Parmar from Nivesha Investment. Please proceed.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Firstly, I wanted to understand how is the CapEx is progressing and when it will be getting live, in which quarter in FY27?
I can give you one answer which perhaps will summarize it all. We is all moving, all of the projects, and there are many full. I would not be in a position to tell you each one of them. But just on a summary note, everything is actually moving as per the plan, and we have actually been taking the right set of actions to deliver the internal execution cycle and execution plan which we had thought of. All is moving on track.
Okay. And secondly, on the industry side, so don't you think that a lot of players have increased their capacity? And given that there is a very big demand from the renewable and data centers and all that, but don't you think there is a very competitive pressures on the various equipment and that's why the margin has been impacted? Or what's your take on the industry outlook?
No, so, you know, because we follow our strategy, we, you know, and you're right, there are multiple manufacturers who actually have been expanding capacities. We are the ones who actually are niching ourselves out as one of the technology players with whom our customer engages and is happy to connect and transact with us because of the features and the usefulness and the reduction in the total cost of ownership which we bring them to them, and therefore we are not running after volumes. We are running after technology, and we are also trying to see as to how we really can create a differentiation, as I had said, in terms of those set of customers. And whatever capacities are needed, we have already have started working on it. And maybe 200 plus crore is what we have planned, and this is besides what we started in a couple of years ago, which was another about 130 crores. So that's something which we are trying to do, and we are not aping anybody who is actually trying to enhance and put up manufacturing capacities. We are pretty strategic in nature and trying to invest and enhance capacities wherever is needed.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jay Shah from OHM Portfolio. Please proceed.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, you have been saying that you would maintain your guidance. So for the benefit of us, can you exactly tell us what is the guidance that you have been saying that you would maintain?
I'm afraid JG may not be perhaps possible to share the guidance, but it will be something with Suparna you would like to add, if there is anything which you can talk about, but I guess
yes.
No.
Yeah, I'll certainly add. When we say guidance, it is the internal, targets, etc., which we have with us. And, of course, because as an organization, as Schneider Electric in India, we are all poised for growth in terms of the revenues, in terms of the margin, in terms of the working capital efficiency. I can only say that we are chasing those targets internally, and please be rest assured.
Okay. Just to understand better, and I'm not asking for any numbers, if I look at the first quarter, what is effectively the capacity utilization? And what is the peak level of revenue you can achieve based on the current capacity and after the capex that is going on, without giving the time frame? So I'm just looking at a theoretical capacity sales possible, and companies operating at what capacity utilization right now to have this current turnover of 400 crores, sorry, 600 crores.
I can take that question, JG. If I would like to tell you, we are operating at optimal level, and the second question is if I recall right, was when the capex comes up, we are gearing to building up those capex and those capacities, which is assumed with which we will be operating at optimum level.
I see. Can you quantify what is the
Mr. Jayesh. May we request you to join the queue?
No, it's the same question for clarification.
All right.
So, yeah. Can you quantify, can you say the optimum or desired level, from where you are, is it 2x, 3x over, period, once your capex gets commissioned and you get subject to your getting orders? So I'm not committing you or holding you to it, but just want to understand at the theoretical level as to what is the asset turn that would really be there and what's the theoretical peak capacity sales.
I would be, JG, is a nice question, but we have actually declared this in our SEBI notifications, because there are multiple lines which are being expanded. We have actually said as to where we are and how much we're adding. So I think maybe perhaps if I may request you to have a note, or we can separately reach out to you in terms of really telling you as to which areas are we expanding to what times, 1x, 2x, 4x.
Okay, I would appreciate.
Just to add to this, the capacity expansion is in different lines and would come up in at different points of time. Currently we are in the, you know, 85-90% capacity utilization, but then I always say that even if we are at that level of capacity utilization, it's not that we will not be able to accommodate it another 10-15% of business and we grow full capacity, because during operations in a plant, it so happens that sometimes with some extra shift, with some small, you know,
yes, with some debottlenecking,
etc., yes, we are able to, you know, generate some additional, marginally additional volume also. So there's nothing which, you know, right now from our capacity utilization point, there's no bottleneck, and in any case, the lines will be ready in different points of time. So right now, difficult to say, and that, and also what will be the asset turnover, that's also difficult to say at the moment.
But over 3 years, can we look at something like doubling or tripling the theoretical level of operation?
Oh, sorry, we can't comment on that.
Okay. I'll reach out to you separately. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anup Vyod from Hedge Equities. Please proceed.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question. And I would like to know, as you have already said, you have been focusing on the good orders with margin, good margin and quality payment. So by what time we can expect the improvement in margin? Can I get an idea about that?
Primarily what we are trying to see and explore and really work on those set of parties with which we are guaranteed for payments, and of course where we get an opportunity to showcase some technological advantage which we bring to the market. And three, if it is strategic in nature, to really showcase the technology which is aligned to India needs. Now, the margin is always a mix, and as you will appreciate, is which line are you making, what is the product mix, how much are services, how much is transactional, how much is equipment, how much are projects. And therefore, you know, is very difficult to comment, because quarter on quarter, at times these components and these constituents changes. But on an overall thing, we when I said we are chasing the right orders, I meant these qualifying criteria. And two is we are always looking for a right product mix, so that we are able to sustain and keep definitive growth in the margins which we have been previously delivering on that level.
Okay, yeah, thank you, sir. And is there any cadence on the CapEx going forward?
Yeah, we have announced to SEBI. It's actually been released and is available on the site. We can separately reach out to you if you so need.
Yeah, you're okay. I can talk to you. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshit Kapadia for his closing comments. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Shruti. We would like to thank the management of Schneider Electric Infrastructure for giving us an opportunity to host this call. We also would like to thank all investors and analysts for joining for this call. Any closing remarks, Uday sir, you want to share with investors?
No, I just would like to thank all of you in really having faith in us, having us move where we have reached till now. I can assure that the management has been taking all efforts to really drive this business. And have a great day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. On behalf of Elara Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.